Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
The scripture says, 18 in verses 1 through 3, and the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather. Today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites! Ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And the scripture says that he left them and departed. You see, when we stare into space at the prolific expanse of the stars, we may see an illumination, but not know the identity. What am I looking at? Is it the North Star? Is it Venus? Is it Mars? Is it a far more distant constellation or the moon of another planet? What am I looking at? If I'm handed a familiar story that I would plainly understand in English and it is written in Arabic, which I don't understand, then my ability to discern what it's saying is extremely limited. What am I looking at? When Abraham gazed at the sand on the seashore, did his best to discern the number of the sand particles, he must have known immediately it was incalculable to his mind because the Lord was speaking to him in something that was so magnificent. But as he followed the Lord from one constructed altar to another, from one acre of promised land territory to another, he understood that God knew, and the possibility for discerning the impossible was in his obedience to God. I mean, if I think about the signs of the times as Jesus talked about them in Matthew 24, I understand that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, that there's going to be tremendous trouble, a calamitous hour upon mankind. And somebody might think, well, when it comes to wars, there's always been wars. And when it comes to diseases, there have always been diseases. Jesus said that nation would rise against nation. There's always been ethnic tension, ethnic cleansing, genocidal thirsts among demonic despots, if you will. The Hitlerian followers and the pseudo-Nazis, the neo-Nazis of our generation. I mean, there's always been this kind of activity, kingdom against kingdom. He said there'll be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Well, there's always been famines and there's always been plagues and sicknesses. So what makes it different about the end time? Well, I believe, as Jesus was pointing out all of this, he's talking about things that are happening simultaneously, exponentially, at a growing rate, with increased energy, with an intensification unlike any other time in history. I mean, you think about how warfare can be in our generation. I mean, a nuclear holocaust. Can you imagine if nuclear missiles start flying back and forth? 20 tons of megaton nuclear energy blowing up in a city. I mean, it really doesn't compare to the strength of a natural disaster, but you're talking about radiation effects that can poison soil for hundreds of years to come. So that's an increased rate of a possibility of war. Then you're talking about plagues like Ebola and Marburg. I mean, liquefying organs in a matter of 2 weeks and the masses of people that could die with something that virulent to come along. And then you're talking about earthquakes. Well, we know there's always been earthquakes. You go back in history to Pompeii. You can go back to the great earthquakes of history. But as we know, if you do seismology studies, we've never lived in a time, even on the graphic studies of the last 50 years of earthquakes 6.5 or more on the Richter scale, that indicates this increase, this intensification, this exponential rate with which all of these things are speeding toward a climactic end. I mean, think about what's happening in the United States right now. And as I record this message, Florida is bracing for the potential disastrous Hurricane Irma. Houston, Texas, and Louisiana has just gone through the terrible downpour and the slow-moving machinery of Hurricane Harvey and the probably $100 billion or so damage that it's left behind, and its flood damages and storm damage. So these things that are happening at an increased rate, and at the same time, there's all of these fires burning in California and Oregon and Montana and Colorado. I mean, it's almost like anywhere you go for a few days in the West, you're looking at ashen skies and you're looking at smoke coverings, and it's just all of these things that can be happening at once. And that's what we're talking about the closer we get to the coming of the Lord. And this not to be a doomsday pessimistic prophet. It's to be a realist. It's to look at the Word of God and realize that Jesus was not just reaching for some fantasy. He was not just some science fiction author, you know, way ahead of his time. He was pointing out that just before the coming of the Lord, there are so many things that are going to be troubling: natural disasters, terrorism, domestic disputes and violence, ethnic tensions and racism, and all of those things that economic unrest, all these things that can happen simultaneously and speeding so fast toward a peak and a climax of doom and destruction. And that's why the Bible says in Thessalonians that when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh. Well, you and I, as children of God, or if anybody's listening to this that considers themselves to be a Christian and born again, Acts 2:38 experience, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, and you speak with tongues, and you pray in tongues, you understand how important it is for us to not be asleep. We cannot allow ourselves to just lay around in the laps of luxury and be satisfied with sleepy eyes. We've got to be alert. We've got to be sober-minded. We've got to redeem the time because the days are evil. We've got to watch and pray, as Jesus said in Luke 21. We have to keep our lamps trimmed and burning bright. I mean, if you think about it, one of the indictments, even of the five wise virgins in Matthew 25, at some point they were all asleep. I mean, what were the wise virgins doing asleep? Could be quite a debate there. But at least when they were awakened, they had the oil necessary. Folks, we need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to be anointed. We need to have the oil of the Holy Ghost flowing in our lives. We need a prayerfulness and a discipline in the Spirit. We need to have a discerning of the end time. And we need to know the signs that we're looking at. I mean, if you were driving down the road and you were going to a popular city, a major city, maybe you're driving south on Interstate 35, I think it is, from Oklahoma City towards Dallas, you would have mileage markers along the way, signposts that would tell you, Dallas, 150 miles. And you say, well, okay, I know in normal traffic, I'll probably be there in, you know, 2.5 hours or so. And then it's 100 miles, and then it's 75 miles. And every sign that you pass lets you know that you're getting closer to the city limits. Well, so it is. Every sign that we see, whether it's a total eclipse or the four blood moons and how they play in the scriptural prophecy or don't play, or it's economic things going on in the world, or the mystery of iniquity that seems to be unfolding faster and faster toward Antichrist rulership, and the trumpet of the Lord that we believe is going to sound at any moment. All of these things that pique our attention, that should have us constantly alert that Jesus is coming. that the rapture trumpet is about to sound. Because the most important thing, friend, when it comes to Bible prophecy, is not necessarily when the rapture is going to take place, but that you're ready. You've got to be ready right now. We've got to be ready today. And of course, I believe that the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound before that tribulation period, before that 70th week of Daniel. But even if it doesn't happen that way, everybody's got to be ready, because just like Jesus talked about the man in the New Testament who boasted about the successes of his business, and he's going to go out and build bigger barns. And the Lord said, "Oh, foolish man, even this night your soul is going to be required of thee." So somebody's appointment with the Lord could happen in the next 15 to 20 seconds. That's why the most important word in your life in regards to salvation is ready. Are you ready right now? Not tomorrow, not next week, not procrastinating it, not delaying it, not saying, "Well, I can get to it later because, you know, this and this has got to happen and this sign's got to take place." No, when you look at the mileage marker of salvation, it's like right now. You need to get it done. Now is the time of salvation, Paul said in the book of Romans. So I guess one of the first questions would be, when you're thinking about what am I looking at, how am I discerning the times that I'm living in, is what am I paying attention to? What really has my interest? What am I focused on? What am I concentrating about? Psalm 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." What am I paying attention to? Well, I'm not going to have the digressive behavior that has me walking, standing, and sitting with people that mock the Word of God, people that scorn at my belief systems, people that really want to hinder what I trust in by getting me to participate in things that could be perverted or twisted or sinful or erroneous or full of iniquity and transgression. No, those things are not the things that I need to be paying attention to. But the second verse says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." What am I looking at? Who am I paying attention to? Well, I need to be paying attention to the Word of God now more than ever. You know, people are looking for excuses when they need to be making scriptural and spiritual adjustments. When you and I read the Word of God like we should, when we have a steady diet of the verses of the Lord and those verses that prepare us against adversity, against demonic aversion to truth, when we really let the Word of God be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, it brings to us a better discerning intelligence, not necessarily just book smarts and not just things that we can have in acquired learning, but it gives us the mind of the Spirit. That's why Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2, I believe it is, that what man knoweth the things of a man without the spirit of a man? What man knoweth the things of God without the Spirit of God? We need to have the Spirit of God operating in our daily lives so that when we read the Word of God, I'm paying attention to what the text is saying, but I'm also paying attention to how the Spirit of truth in me connects the dots for me in the truth that I'm reading, that I'm digesting, that I'm internalizing. What am I paying attention to? I don't need secular philosophies to take the place of my faith. I don't need religious opinions even to take the place of my faith. And just because it's religion doesn't mean it's biblically correct. There's a lot of false religions. There's a lot of false teachers that are out there. But thank God for apostolic truth, and thank God for the sincerity of believers who know how to pray and they seek the Lord sincerely on a daily basis so that we can have our senses sharpened in the Spirit, that by reason of use, we have a discerning skill in the Word of God and nothing sneaks up on us or catches us unaware. That's Paul's argument with the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5, is that the things of a darkening generation should only catch the drunk people unawares. It should not catch the sober people. We should be alert. We should be awake. Our delight that's in the law of the Lord and in living a life that is pleasing to the Lord is what should keep us on the cutting edge of discernment. We shouldn't be surprised by some of the sinful things going on in our world. And even though it can be astonishing and it can be a bitter disappointment and scandals that take place in the political and celebrity and even religious world can be quite disconcerting. But in the end, folks, we know what generation we're living in, and these things should not sneak up on us. Now, that doesn't mean we got to walk around with suspicious minds. It doesn't mean we got to walk around with our Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass, acting like spiritual detectives, always looking for something wrong. What it means is that while we live with joy unspeakable and full of glory, while we live with a peace that passes all understanding, while we live to be righteous and to walk on that path of righteousness for His name's sake, and we do it with joy and we do it with happiness and we do it with a smile on our face, that we should always be aware and prepared for the unexpected, prepared for the worst. Again, by the time you hear this message, you probably already will be reading the results of Hurricane Irma. But while I'm recording this, there's a state of emergency in Florida. Now, the hurricane hasn't hit yet, but they are preparing for the worst. And if it swings in to another direction, then so be it. And everybody will be very glad that that happens. If it misses Florida and there's minimal damage, everybody will be very thankful. But they are preparing for the worst. People are evacuating because they're not taking a chance. Well, you and I must have that kind of discernment in the end time. We don't need to just be able to have an analysis of what's going on economically in our world. We don't need to just study Dow Jones and the stock market and what's happening on the bull markets and has it been a good day for our stock investments or a bad day. No, friend, what's most important is how are our kingdom investments doing? What kind of soul winning have we been involved in? What kind of prayer have we been a part of? How have we been digging in the Word of God? I mean, just think about this simple analogy. If you had one of your kids, if it's anything like around our house, we love to scare one another. We'll hide behind doors and score points, you know, if the other person flinches when you jump out at them. Well, if you know they're already there, they can't really scare you. When they jump out, you don't flinch because it's been no surprise. Shouldn't it be that way as a child of God? Shouldn't we have such a touch of God on our lives and be prayerfully discerning that the things that happen around us don't really surprise us or scare us? I know that that's easier said than done because all of us have given in to worry and we've given in to anxiety and we've been in a place where we've probably been scared or full of fear. But when we begin to read the Word of God, when we get in a spirit of prayer, and when we let the Word of God work on our minds and kind of scrub off those scabby areas and those, you know, kind of like when you get a skillet that's been sitting in the sink for days and it's got something stuck on it and you got to get that scouring pad out and scrub it off. You let the Word of God do that. Scrub stuff off the way you think that builds up there. Lack of confidence and shame and guilt, condemnation and things of the past that want to try to make you feel like you're never going to get to where you want to get to or be what you want to be. You scrub that stuff off and the fearfulness goes away because perfect love casteth out all fear. And we know that when we have a deep relationship with God and we walk in that supernatural dimension of oneness, when we walk with that character of Christ, these things will not scare us. We will not have a fearfulness of what's coming on the world. In fact, we should be the voices of peace in the middle of the storm. Like Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, when he's on that ship that got caught up in the storm Euroclydon, and then eventually they're going to get shipwrecked on the island of Melita. Well, at one point, some of the people on that boat, even some of the soldiers on that boat, were going to commit mutiny and take a lifeboat and get away from the ship. And Paul stands up with confidence, you see, because he's had an angelic visitation. He's been in prayer. And he's able to say to everybody on board, now, wait a minute. If you stay on board this ship, everybody's going to be saved. But only if you stay with the ship. He could say that with confidence because he had been in prayer. He had peacefulness for their panic. He had calmness for their chaos. And so when all of this is happening, he's already had a discerning of what is coming. Well, you and I, we are living at the city limits of the rapture, if you will. Maybe a better way to say it is we're at the city limits almost of the New Jerusalem. And it's not going to be that much longer, no matter how you measure time and days and months and years. It's ticking by, and we are fastly approaching that hour when the judge of the quick and dead will put one foot on the land and one on the sea and declare that time shall be no more. So we have a challenge before us as children of God to make sure that we are paying attention to the right things so that we know what we are looking at. We are discerning the right things, and we're doing it from the foundation of our faith in the Word of God, from the foundation of our faith in the ministers of the Word of God who pray and fast and seek the Lord, of a consistent apostolic environment where the demonstration of the Spirit is active and where the doctrines of the New Testament are still in full order, where it's a healthy, functioning body that's not going to be surprised by anything that hell brings against the church or against the world with a demonic agenda. We have to keep our eyes open in the Spirit. We have to keep our ears open in the Spirit. We got to make sure that we know what we're looking at and who we're listening to. This is why you can't just open yourself up to anybody that wants to talk or teach you. Because if you listen to somebody long enough, you're going to learn something from them. And I don't want to listen to a false teacher. I don't want to give my ear or pay attention to a false doctrine. Now, at times you may have to study certain parts of it so that you know how to challenge it with the Word of God, but it's because you're soaking your mind and keeping your spirit tender in the Word of God. But you're not going to give your spirit over to just be oppressed and overwhelmed by the sin-pleasing doctrines of this age. And Paul told us there are going to be doctrines of devils. There's going to be seducing spirits. But we need to know what we're looking at. We need to know how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And we must determine that we're going to stand on our feet. We're going to be fully armored. We got the helmet of salvation on to guard our minds. We got the breastplate of righteousness on to guard our hearts, the shield of faith to block off all the fiery accusations of darkness and even secular sources. We've got our loins girt about with truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We've got that offensive weapon in our hand, the sword of the Spirit, and we're going to make it to the end. We've got durable faith. It's not a quick to faint kind of faith. My friend, what you've put your confidence in will take you all the way to eternity and all the way to everlasting life. So whatever you do, keep your eyes open. Keep your ears attentive to what thus saith the Lord. Keep an ear to hear the voice of God in your life. In Jesus' name.
I don't have Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.